We've been looking at a series that we started called Vision. What will my future look like? Vision. What will my future look like? We started that last Sunday. And that's what we'll be looking at till the end of this month and possibly to the beginning of next month. And this is a really important topic. Not that all the topics we've looked at in the past are not important, but this one, I believe, is quite key because of where I sense that a lot of people are, not just for our church, but just the world generally around vision. So I've taken the liberty of getting a couple of definitions. Then we'll look at what we have for today. So I said, what is vision? So if I came to you and I said, what's your vision for next year? What's your vision for yourself? What's your vision for your children, your vision for your family? What's the vision for this church? What do we want to do? So I got a definition here from Google. And it says, vision is the mental ability to imagine and plan for the future. The mental ability to imagine and plan for the future. So whether you realize it or not, you have a vision for yourself. You have a vision for yourself. And vision is looking at the future and imagining what that future could look like. Thinking about next year, thinking about the year after. So vision is looking into the future and saying, what would I really like? Not actually what I can do. What would I really like to achieve? What do I want my life to look like? And it says, another part of vision is planning towards that vision that you have. Do you get what I mean? So vision is futuristic, and your vision for yourself or vision that someone else has for you will direct what you're doing now because you want to achieve something in the future. So that's what I would define as the plain definition of vision. Now, the thread that I'm going through is this. I said there are usually three default visions that affect the lives of people. Usually three. There could be more, but I've just narrowed it down to three main headers, and we looked at the last header last week. I said that your life can go in three main directions from a vision perspective. From a where am I going to end up in the future perspective, your life could go through. It could take one of three parts. Sometimes it's a combination, but I'm just going to highlight these three parts. So the first is this: your life can go in the direction that God has for you. That's when you follow God's vision for your life. And Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, it says it. It says, "This is God's vision and plan for you." It says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So when God looks at you and I, he looks at your children, he looks at the people under your care, he looks at us as a church, he looks at us as individuals. He says, "This is the plan that I have for you." He says, "Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So God has this future and this vision for every individual that is sat here today. For everyone that is born in this world, God has this vision for you. It says, to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So that's God's plan for you and I. There's another kind of vision that we could have for ourselves. And this is a vision that is not necessarily bad, but it could be a vision that you have for yourself, that you have generated by yourself, but with God not being involved in it. And that's what I will call a self-vision. Self-vision. Now, that is when you choose the vision that you want for yourself. There's nothing wrong with that, but when that vision does not take God into the mix, then it becomes solely your own. And the Bible says something about that kind of vision. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. It says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. It says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. Now, this might be a bit extreme in terms of death. It doesn't lead to death all the time, but I believe what the Bible is saying here is this. Death is when something dies. It's when the hope that an individual has dies, not necessarily physical death in all cases. It's when you do something or you make certain choices and the end of those choices on the long run, they just die off. It doesn't become anything. That's what this kind of death is referring to. So this second one is what I'll call a vision that is generated by the individual. That is not necessarily a bad way of living, but it doesn't have God at the center of it. And there's the likelihood that that kind of vision can take that individual to a place where all the person's aspirations, all the person's hopes, all the person's dreams are not fulfilled. And even if some of those things are fulfilled, they don't bring the fulfillment that that person thinks they will bring or it will bring. That's the second type of vision. Now, the third kind of vision, which we'll look at next week, is you and I need to realize that the devil has a plan for you as well. He has a vision for you. And what is the devil's plan for every individual? John 10:10. It says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So the devil's plan for every individual, whether you're a Christian or not, is to destroy your dreams, to kill your dreams, to ensure that your life becomes miserable at the end, and at the end of the day, nothing comes out of your life. But the devil will never have that kind of say in your life in Jesus' name. So those are the three main types of visions that an individual can embrace and end up with. Last week, we looked at the first one, God's vision for us. We looked at the life of Abraham. Today, I'm going to look at the second type of vision, which is the vision that an individual chooses for themselves based on their own aspirations that are not rooted in God. We'll see where that leads to us, where that can lead an individual to. And for that, I'm looking at the story of a man in the Bible called Lot. Now, Lot was the nephew of Abraham. We looked at Abraham last week. Now, Abraham was the person that God calls the father of faith. God, you know, did a lot of things through Abraham. We looked at that extensively last week. But today, we want to focus on Lot. Lot was Abraham's nephew. Lot was Abraham's nephew. And something happened. God called Abraham and he said, Abraham, I'm calling you out of where you are. I'm taking you on a journey. So God begins to talk with his uncle, Abraham. God makes Abraham a number of promises. And as Abraham is fulfilling those promises, as Abraham is interacting with God and going along the journey that God has for him, he takes his nephew along with him. Lot. Lot was a great guy. But we want to see what happened to Lot when he began to make choices and began to follow a vision that was not exactly the vision that God wanted for him. Where did his life end up? Now, I'll look at 3 points in the life of Lot. And maybe we'll be able to reflect as well. Now, the first is Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 4, I'll read it. It says, the Lord said to Abraham, to Abraham, this is Lot's uncle, go from your country, from your people, from your father's household, to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. This is God talking to Abraham's uncle. It says, I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. It says, I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who curse you. It says, all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So God begins to make these promises to Abraham. Abraham takes him along. Do you get what I mean? And verse 4, it says, so Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot with him. So we see a situation here where God makes promises to Abraham, and God is saying, I'm going to bless you, like the scripture we read earlier from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, where God has a future for you, and God says, this is the future that I have for you, not to harm you, future to prosper you. And Abraham goes on this journey, takes Lot along with him. And everything is working fine for Lot. Why? Because he, by association, is following the vision that God had for him indirectly. So things are working out for him. He's a great guy. He comes to church. He's involved in church. He attends the meetings. Maybe he's part of the choir. Maybe he's in the tech department. Lot is like really having a great time, and he's like, wow, my life is just going. We say, okay, this is what God is saying we should do as a church. Lot is happy about it, and he's involved. So this guy is a great guy. He's really, really into it. So what happens next? That's the second point. Genesis chapter 13, verses 5 to 18. And I just want us to really hold a number of points here. So I'm making 3 points about Lot this morning. So the first one I said is that Lot was a great guy. He was a good man, committed to God, loved God, he was like really into it. Second point, Genesis chapter 13, verses 5 to 18. So Lot had been living with Abraham. Everything had been going well. And it came to a point that they had to go separate ways. You know, maybe Lot was in Bristol, it was at CFT Bristol Church. Then suddenly, man, he had to go to, someone give me like a name of a town that you like. I can't say Dubai because there is a bit of a tricky one there. Give me a favorite place that anybody likes. Sorry?
Liverpool.
Oh, that's up north, Liverpool. And he's like, I have to go to Liverpool now. Sorry if there are any Liverpoolians there. This is just by way of example. I'm not saying Liverpool is like. So he has to go there. So this is what happens. Genesis chapter 13, verses 5 to 18. It says, now Lot, who was moving about with Abraham, also had flocks and herds and tents. But the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose between Abraham's herders and Lot. The Canaanites and the Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So Abraham said to Lot, look, let's not have any quarreling between you and I, or between your herders and mine. We are close relatives. Isn't this the whole land before you and I? Let's part company. If you go left, I will go to the right. If you go right, I will go to the left. So they're going along, and suddenly they have like loads of cattle, sheep, all those things. And, you know, God's really doing the work with them. And suddenly the Bible says that they had so much sheep and cattle that the land wasn't enough for the cattle and sheep that Abraham had and that Lot had. So their headsmen began to quarrel. It's like, oh no, you graze over there, you graze over there. And it's like, look, Abraham now goes, look, no need to argue, you know, you just, Lot, pick a place. If you go left, I will go right. Let's not quarrel. I mean, you know, everything is good between us. Now, Lot now has to make a choice in terms of where he goes next from here. And Lot now does something here. In verse 10 of Genesis chapter 13, it says, Lot looked around and saw the whole plain of the Jordan towards Zoar, that it was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out towards the east. The two men parted company. Abraham lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tent near Sodom. Now, the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. So, Lot is about to make a choice with regards to where to go to. And he does something quite interesting here. Not like his uncle had done. Anytime his uncle wanted to make a choice, a life-defining choice, Abraham would have a conversation with God. And he'd be like, God, where should I go to? Or even if God doesn't speak to him directly, he's in his contemplation. He has God. He's like, God, what choices should I make here concerning this decision that I want to make? The approach that I have to life, what should I do? Is that according to your will? That's what his uncle had been doing. That's what got Lot to where he was. But when Lot was about to make a decision here, the Bible says something in verse 10. It says, Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan of the Zoar was well watered. Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain, he looked and he says, where should I go? And he looks and he says, look, this place looks really lush. There's a slang in Bristol. Is it lush? I think I have to improve my Bristolian, my bag of Bristolian slangs. So I think from next week, you guys please remind me. I'll start dropping now. I'll be like, oh, Pastor Benson, that was a lush sermon you gave there. Or Pastor Benson, that drink, that Coca-Cola drink that we're not meant to drink in our house, it was lush when I had it. You know what I mean? So please remind me. I need to have like a list of slang so I can be a proper Bristolian. I think there's another one. Is it gut luck? Is it gut? Man, Bishop has all these slangs in his arsenal. And I got to Bristol before you, mind you. How come you have all this? Please, you must write all of them now so I can. So the thing here is this. In a very subtle manner that you and I might not notice, Lot begins to make choices in his life based only, underline that word, only on what he could see or what popular culture was telling him. That was how he made his choice. And you might be like, hang on, what is wrong with that? I mean, if it was me, I would do the same thing as well. I mean, does everything have to be spiritual? Does everything have to be, I mean, Pastor Benson, aren't you overdoing a bit? God has given us a brain for a purpose, you know? It's not like we should just like spookify everything. Oh God, I want to, you know, why do I? Hang on, that's not what I'm saying here. I'm saying here, Lot had a perspective, and this perspective was displayed here. So what I'm talking about here is not just individual choices. I'm talking about a perspective that an individual might have, perspective, where all the choices that individual makes are made through a particular mindset. Perspective. So the perspective that Lot had was, look, I can sort life out by myself. All this church business, all this pray business, all this finding the will of God, all this prayer, all this what will God say? I mean, isn't that a bit too much? The Sundays are enough. That's a perspective. Now, is it a bad perspective? Is it sinful? No. Did Lord do anything wrong here? Morally? No. The Bible says he was a good man. So, this isn't really about doing things that are wrong. No. I mean, if he's making bad choices sometimes, we know that this choice I want to make is a bad one, then we avoid it. No, I'm not even going in that realm of what is wrong or right. I'm talking about a perspective that wants to live life based on their own wisdom. That's where it becomes a bit tricky. So we're looking at the life of Lot here. I'm making 3 points. The first point I made was that Lot was a good man. And he lived his life initially according to God's plans for him. He put God in the mix because he was with his uncle. And things worked out really well. He now got to the point where he had to separate from his uncle, and he was left to make the choices of life by himself. And in making those choices, he had a perspective that had infiltrated his mind. And that perspective is, I can sort this thing out by myself. I have a brain. Why do I have to consult with God? What does God have to do with this? That was the perspective that he had. Now, the third and final thing is this. Lot carried on living his life this way. We don't really see too much detail in how he lived his life, but there's some pointers with regards to how Lot lived his life. And I'm going to read a portion of scripture now. Genesis chapter 19, verses 12 to 17. It says, Lot had moved away from, just to give us context, Lot had moved away from where Abraham was. He was living in Sodom and Gomorrah. And the city was about to be destroyed. So two angels came, and they came to the house of Lot and said, Lot, you need to leave the city because it's going to be destroyed shortly, but we don't want you to be destroyed with it. Leave Sodom and Gomorrah now. Do you get what I mean? It is going to be destroyed. You need to leave now. And Lot was still like, you know, are you sure? What's all this about? So on. And so they just like, look, don't ask us too many questions here. Just do what you need to do, which is to leave this place. So Genesis chapter 19, verses 12 to 17. It says, then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here? Sons-in-law, daughters-in-law, anyone that you have in the city, bring them out of this place. For we are about to destroy this place because the outcry against his people has become great before the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and said to his sons-in-laws who were to marry his daughters, up, get out of here, for the Lord is about to destroy the city. But he seemed to his sons-in-law to be jesting. So we begin to see that Lot, they tell Lot that this city is going to be destroyed. And he knows it's going to be destroyed. And for his sons-in-laws, the people who were married to his daughters, he goes and he tells them, he says, look, guys, people, we need to pack up and get out of this place now. And they were like, you know, come on, you know, this your religious church business. I mean, come on, God is not going to, we're cool, nothing is going to happen. I mean, aren't you over-exaggerating? What's up with you, Lot? And he was like, no, this is what God says. We should do this. We need to leave this place. And the Bible says they looked at him like he was a jester. They thought he was joking. So we begin to see something in the life of Lot here, that even his associations, the people that he was drawing near, the people that his daughters were going to marry, had no regard for God. Do you see? They had no, it's like, please, let's just, this church business thing is too much. So even his daughter's spouses, they was like, we don't want to be associated with all this. Just do what you need to do and leave us alone. So we begin to see that the life, that's Lady Ivana, by the way, if you guys don't know, but I'll just keep it there. And I was just going to say, all you, is that a politically correct way to address people? All you, is that politically correct? Okay, sorry, I'll use another term. You folks. And you folks, right, that will say, join the choir and sing. Be like, oh, Pastor Benson, I don't want to sing. We're waiting for these guys. Lady Ivana, there are quite a few. I can see a few here, you know. Those are the choir people. So when I'm just waiting for them to be able to hold the drumsticks, when they're 4 or 5, we'll just say, okay, no problem. We've got a drummer, a bassist. So I'm keeping an eye out. So just let me know which one she likes. If she's like she looks more like, should we say singer, bass player? Bass, don't worry, we'll find one for her. So what am I saying here? We begin to see in the life of Lot, that even though he was a good man, his perspective on life had already begun to infiltrate and affect the life of his children as well. What do I mean by that? Because he was so pragmatic, because he was like, so, you know, I don't want too much this religious thing in my life, it began to affect the life of his children as well. And they began to also make choices that were not in line with what God wanted. How do I know that? Because when Lot, their father, went to tell them something that God said to him, they just said, this is too much. You know, this is too much. So we begin to see that his choices, his perspective on life was rubbing off on his children and the choices that they made as well. And the choices that they made as well. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that, look, for vision, as an individual, whatever choices you make now concerning vision or whatever perspective that you have now, don't think that it is just you alone that it's going to affect. No. Your choices, the vision that you have for your life, will affect everyone that you have authority over, your children most especially. So don't think we can just make choices and it will stop with us. No, those choices will not stop with you, apparently. They will affect your children and those around you. So, for example, as a church, we have a vision that God has put here. Our vision is to care for one another, to ensure we know God more, we affect our community, we let people know that Jesus loves them. That's our vision. So, our vision is that for everyone that comes to this church, we will help each other to grow. Not just you, but the children that are in this church as well. I was thinking, I don't want to deviate too much. You see, this vision thing for me is a real, my wife would tell you, it's something that really burns in my heart. I was on holiday a couple of weeks ago, went to a far land to evangelize on a mission trip. And I was there, no work, nothing. I think that's the first time in a long time that I was on holiday and I didn't work, I didn't open my laptop. And while I was there, all I was thinking about was the church, this church. It got to the point, I almost told God, I said, God, I'm on holiday. Can you just allow me to think about something else? I was thinking about the church. When you guys were doing the service, I promised myself I won't log on because, you know, where I went to is like 7 hours behind. I told my wife, let me just log on and see what these guys are up to. She looked at me. I logged on, I saw all of you. And I was just thinking about the church. And I was now like, why am I thinking about the church like this? I'm thinking about the church like this because I know that God has a vision for everyone that is sitting here. Not only that, God has a vision for all your children. I was telling someone that we had, it's like children galore in this church. We had a birth in January, February, March, April, you guys skipped, May. And I looked and we have almost, I think I counted it, about 17 children in this church. Those under 5, 14. What's going to happen to those guys and those girls? The choices that we make as a church, the choices that you make as their parents, will make a big difference. So, what now happens to Lot? If you read Genesis chapter 19, 12 to 17, everything that Lot had done in his life came to a halt. Everything he had was destroyed. The city that he lived in destroyed. His in-laws destroyed. He managed to escape with his daughters, but even that escaping with his daughter, because of the perspective that he had, it didn't turn out well at all. He still survived. God still loved him. The Bible still refers to him as a good man. He didn't do anything bad, so to speak. But the way his life turned out wasn't good at all. He survived. But every vision that God had for him didn't come to pass at all. So I'm going to end here this morning. So what have I said? We're looking at vision. And I said that there are three visions, three parts of vision, or three alternative visions that one might go through or establish in their lives. One, God's vision for you. We looked at that. Your vision for yourself. That's what we looked at today, looking at the life of Lot. And the vision that the devil has for an individual. We'll look at that next time. And in the vision for ourselves, you might be a good person doing everything you know how to do, like Lot. But three things happened to Lot, which we need to take to heart. The first thing was this. Lot was a good person, like we all are. The second thing was that he began to make choices, or he had a vision for his life that didn't have God in it. And the third thing was that where that vision landed him wasn't good at all. It wasn't good at all. So what am I saying? Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. God has a good vision for you and I. However, God won't force us to embrace the vision that he has for us. God wants us to see the vision that he has, knowing that the vision that he has for you and I is a good one. He says in Jeremiah chapter 29, 11, he says, "The plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." That is the plan of God for you. So this morning, I just want us to pray. And the prayer I would like us to pray this morning is, God, just help me. Help me, God. Help me. If I have deviated in any shape or form from the vision that you have for me, or if life has put me in a place where the vision that you have for me doesn't appear to be coming up, help me this morning.